Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I'm glad you could join us. And over the next hour, we'll talk about assorted current news in the real estate or tax sectors. And in addition, we will discuss strategies for creating retirement wealth. We will talk about some real estate private partnership syndications and real estate in general. It's what we do. And we don't sell real estate. We don't sell you interest in partnerships. We don't recommend specific real estate investments. We help you understand the math, whether it's tax math or syndication partnership math or real estate math. If you don't pay attention to the math, you will eventually turn left when you should have turned right. And that's what we consult with clients about in advance. We help them understand what they're signing up for potentially, and try to help them analyze the math. As the expression goes, it's just math. Boy, there's a lot more to that than you can imagine at times, especially right now. For those of you that tune in every week, you know that I will remind you that just because you listen to the show or see us on a website, it doesn't make me or NP Ross CPAs or Dan Dubose CPA. When Dan can join, he's off today. But in any event, that, you know, doesn't become your specific advice or strategy just because you hear it on the air. If you would like to connect with us, first, check with your own advisors. If you have advisors that understand or spend time in the niches that we do, you know, that would be your first solution to find out if what you heard applies to your facts and circumstances and might be a benefit. And if you don't have said advisors, feel free to go to our BAPlanner.com website. And in addition to explaining the three ways that you can access your retirement funds, you'll also see some input forms. Actually, you'll see a link up at the top right for forms. And if you'll follow that link, it'll take you to a page that will have four steps, call it four forms, actually. And if you'll fill those in, will give us enough information about your family's facts and circumstances where we can more readily assess if we might be a solution to help you with your objectives. And once you've completed at least the first step, that would be a client profile. Then click the link at the far right, right next to forms, it's call, and you'll be able to schedule an introductory call that will be at no charge, of course, just so we can chat with you about the prospects that we can sync up with your objectives and help you along your journey to retirement. For those of you that listen from week to week, you know that we like discussing the news. You further know that we have a companion site that is the BA Planner Show site. So the forms can be found at baplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. com, and then the news and some other goodies are out at the BAPlannerShow.com site, and they are linked together, so theoretically you should be able to go to either of those two sites and navigate over to the other one. But in any event, once you're on the BAPlannerShow.com site, there's a link at the top right called resources. So if you'll go there, then you'll see I've got, I don't know, I think four articles this week that I grabbed to put up just to illustrate what's going on in the space. By the way, I noticed the news. I just had a news flash come in while I was talking that Jim Jordan has lost his third vote to become the House Speaker. And I tell you, what a mess we've got in Washington. And, you know, the Republicans seems to think that or they seem to forget that if they're not careful, they're going to end up with another Nancy Pelosi-type figure as Speaker of the House. It's like, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how splintered or fractured the Republicans are versus how cohesive the Democrats can be to get things done. And it appears, just glancing quickly at that article, he's not only fallen short, he's got, let's see, says 194 Republicans voted for Jordan and 25 against, up from 22 that voted against him in the second round and 20 in the first. It's like, you know, who are they going to elect? There's no fallback. And this is kind of a critical time in the world. There's a lot of people counting on America, whether good or bad. Sometimes I maintain that if we're borrowing to have those folks counting on us, it's not necessarily good. And it's amazing to me how quickly these days we can spend $1 billion, $1 billion. And we're talking multiple billions thus far on Ukraine and now Israel. And I don't know. I mean, I think Rand Paul said it best here a while back in debating on the Senate floor, that it'd be one thing, I'm paraphrasing, it'd be one thing if we had the funds sitting in a bank somewhere and we were taking some savings out to go pay for the defense of these other countries, or offense, as the case may be. And, you know, people are dying. I mean, I think we lose sight of that. And they're dying on both sides. So I'm not trying to pick the winners and losers, but I'm just saying, hey, we don't have it. And if you don't understand that, go to the usdebtclock.org site. Let me go out there right now, just kind of update you. And of course, you're going to have to, if you look at that site, again, it's usdebtclock.org. I believe, let me see here, your head will be spinning watching the numbers. These are real-time numbers that show you just how bad off we are. And let's see, did I get that link right? Let me try it again. It's taken a while. usdebtclock.org. Yeah, there it is. And that was the correct link, usdebtclock.org. The U.S. national debt, it was just, what, 3 weeks ago that I mentioned we had passed the $33 trillion mark? It's $33,655 billion and counting. And again, it's real time. It looks like a pinball machine. It's absolutely crazy how these numbers mount up. It just, for those that are counting, that $33 trillion is just the acknowledged debt that the U.S. has. There's another at least $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities, and you're starting to see more people, well, not a lot of people, unfortunately, but you're seeing more people in government acknowledge that, hey, you know, we know that we're the only country in the developed nations that doesn't count the other debt associated with legislation that's already passed. You know, we've already determined what the full retirement age is for Social Security. We've determined what the inflationary index is for each year, the cost of living adjustment. And but we could change all that. So we don't book that liability on our balance sheet. If you were a small business person and your accountant was preparing, let's say, financial statements that many small business people have to do to support a bank providing them with a line of credit, you know, when you give that financial to the bank each month or quarter or annually, however often you have to do it, you have to book your liabilities and assets under generally accepted accounting principles. GAAP is what we call that. Well, the government doesn't practice GAAP. You know, they make us do it. Effectively, they make us. And, you know, if you reported tax returns, your corporate returns to the IRS that wasn't a complete and accurate snapshot of your balance sheet, it could generate problems, probably would generate problems on one front or another, but the government doesn't have to do that. Just like the government exempts itself from most rules, most legislation. In any event, the thing that is truly distressing is that the current, just when you focus on the $33 trillion, that would be the part that we admit to as a nation or as an economy, that works out to, get this, $259,103 per taxpayer. It's $100,227 per man, woman, and child. Those would be citizens. That's your kids. That's your kids. That's your grandkids. That's their share of that debt. And, of course, if you look at the true deficit, and, again, it varies by, then that would be including the unfunded mandates, that would work out to, let's see, the unfunded liabilities according to U.S. debt clock. Now, again, different economists, different prognosticators will be anywhere from $130 trillion. I've seen as high as $250 trillion, just depending on what all you include. But on usdebtclock.org, if you look down at the bottom right, they show you the U.S. unfunded liabilities are $194 trillion. Dollars, and I believe that is on top, I think the way they depict it here, that's on top of the 33.7 trillion dollars. So that would put you at 230 roughly. So that's in the ballpark. Anyway, per citizen, that's per man, woman, and child, per American, that is $579,427. So you got four people in your household, you're at $2 million plus for your household. So I'm sorry to give you this news as you're maybe sitting down to eat lunch. It is distressing, and I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, the best way out, and it's frankly probably our only hope, is to become more productive increasing our GDP. And if we could do that, then that theoretically provides more tax revenues and gives us the ability to pay down some of the debt. But I'm just curious, when's the last time the group in Washington that's running our country actually cut spending and paid down debt? And by a comparative, our U.S. gross domestic product, we used to be able to say, well, you know, we know the budget is a deficit. We know it's a cumulative big number. You know what the U.S. Current GDP is? It's about just over $27 trillion. So you can see that we are well in excess of the $33 trillion national debt. And what is that? It looks like it's probably in the 130% range. That's crazy. That's just absolutely crazy that we're outspending GDP. I mean, I can remember it wasn't even 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that we were less than 100% of GDP. Oh, well, I promise we'll talk about some better news, more exciting news, when we come back in a few minutes. We hope you stay with us. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
This song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And, you know, we were talking about the horrible financial shape that we're in. And I want to just say two of the things that I notice on the usdebtclock.org site that's pretty telling, and that was on the interest that's clicking off on the debt this year. It's let's see, it's about $1 trillion now is what we're up to, if I'm looking at this correctly, per year, per annum. That's insane. And I'll tell you the other thing that's truly depressing, and I'm not advocating for any cuts. You know, I'm an old guy now too. But do you have any idea what chunk of the federal budget, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, defense, interest on the debt? Any idea what that looks like on the radar of the federal government? I'll tell you, Medicare and Medicaid annually, $1.628 trillion at the moment. And, of course, that number is changing by, I don't know, $100,000 every 10, 15 seconds as you watch it here on the screen. Social Security is right there in second place. By the way, Medicare and Medicaid is the biggest component of our annual federal budget. The second biggest is Social Security. It's a $1.3 and some change. I mean, what's a few billion dollars, you know, just amongst us friends, right? $1.3 trillion. And then defense is half of that, $796 billion. And then, like I say, interest on the debt is the fourth biggest. At right now, it's about $724 billion to date. But by the time we get to the end of the year, it should be somewhere there, right around a trillion. So anyway, it's just, I don't know. I like to look at this site every once in a while. Again, usdebtclock.org if you want to be, I guess, nauseous is the best word. Go take a look. Okay, let's go to the news, and let's see here, which article do we want to talk about? Well, let's do this. Let's talk about some positive news for the moment. And there's an article, let's see, where did I pull this article from? I think it was GlobeStreet, or ALM, that's A-L-M, GlobeStreet.com. And by the way, most of the articles on the Be a Planner show are some you can have unfettered access to, others, and I try to put an asterisk, I hope, that I remember to do that. Let's see. I hope I do it correctly, because I put asterisks on those that require simply a registration versus those that require a password. If there's an article you see that you can't get to, let me know, and I'll see if I have some free links to that article or that I can share with you. In any event, the article that I'm referring to is the one that says multifamily remains a favored nation. CRE, that's commercial real estate asset class. And, you know, there are markets where investors can get away from the craziness. Boy, we've got some craziness in the San Francisco market right now. We'll talk about it's really not, I mean, I don't think it's indicative necessarily of the multifamily values that have declined so precipitously, as it is a city that has declined very precipitously. And I mean, you've got major chains, retail, etc. Companies are leaving in droves. And, you know, I haven't been to the San Francisco area in a number of years, but based on what I read and what some of my friends have told me about it and L.A. and now San Diego, I've got a friend that is from that area that has purchased quite a bit of real estate. And I don't know if you noticed, and, you know, this came across, by the way, on one of the, I believe it was Fox News had an article this week about new legislation that allows the, what's a word we can use on the air? Let's say it allows the sex workers that walk the streets to wear G-strings. They're no longer going to get picked up if they're walking around let's just say they're working attire. It's insanity run amok. And, you know, my friend, he's, you know, an even older guy than me, former Southwest Airlines pilot, has a great sense of humor. And he said, if their prices are as high as everything else in San Diego, he said, I can't, you know, there's no way I can participate, you know, tongue in cheek. And, you know, he's got condos that he is into, you know, early or low $1.2 million, et cetera, and each. And it's amazing what San Diego real estate is still going for. But if you look at this article, I guess because, you know, we talk about we do have some negativity, and I guess the way I feel about that is, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat the news, but I'm going to tell you right now, since we've been on the air for almost 3 years now, there's every week there is positive and there is negative news and information, trends, if you will, about multifamily real estate. Because, you know, you have to remember, there's money to be made when the prices and performance of real estate is high, which it has been for the last, I don't know, since 2010, probably, at least the last 10 years. And, you know, there's people that have made a lot of money. There's people that lost money in that period. And now, of course, there's people that are losing money big time. In fact, one of the articles or two of the articles we're going to talk about. But in any event, multifamily remains the most attractive asset class. I'm reading this right out of the article. In commercial real estate, with industrial and self-storage not far behind. The difference to me there, by the way, is that multifamily will stay strong, at least in certain areas, certain segments. Why? Because people have to have a place to lay their head at night. It's not like office. And even as good as self-storage and industrial have done as of late, you don't necessarily need a self-storage unit to lay your head. Now, I will acknowledge that strong multifamily is driving strong self-storage performance because, you know, there's more remote workers that need more of their apartment space, I suggest. And so, you know, that drives that self-storage segment. Says multifamily is your favored nation, quote unquote, asset class for investing. And that's reflected across all types of investors, institutional, private equity. That would be clients like myself and those that I consult with. Banks offer construction and exit loans. Industrial and self-storage are also performing well, but their growth has slowed a bit as of late. And again, you've got multiple factors that are driving multifamily. You've got single-family pricing that's off the charts that restricts who qualifies to buy a house. Therefore, people that might otherwise be in the market for buying, they either can't get a loan or they're not willing to pay the insane prices for current offerings on the market. And, you know, it's amazing what some of the top metros are selling for, the real estate, you know, primarily housing for Mr. and Ms. homeowner to buy. I know in San Antonio, we've got condos not far from the ones I own that are listed at north of $600 a square foot. Now, for those of you that don't yet think in square footage terms, I'm going to suggest that be a goal. You know, by the time we get to Christmas here this year, why don't we all be able to say real estate in a certain area is selling at $600 or north of $600 a square foot, and instantly you're calculating that on a $1,000 condo that or whatever I mean a thousand square foot condo that if it's selling for $600 a square foot, that of course is $600,000. That's insanity. Absolute insanity. And I can tell you without even researching it, the price of real estate in San Antonio has never been higher in the history of the world. Not just in mine and your lifetime, in the history of the world. And San Antonio is not alone. I mean, there's a lot of markets. Houston is probably right there as well. Dallas is there. Austin probably was well over that, but now it's coming back to earth, and Austin is well on its way, according to an article. Forgotten when we put this out there. It's in the resources page from, I don't know, probably 3 months ago, where it was there was a lot of information about the homeless problem in Austin, which their media has been able to keep it under wraps, but it's, according to that article, they were pegging it as the next San Francisco when it comes to the homeless problem. And I know I've got a good friend that lives there that's very in touch with a few of those folks that were interviewed for that article, and he said that they said the reporter didn't use half of the information they gave him, and they said it's a lot worse than what they were, you know, suggesting. But I guess, you know, it's not enough that fewer companies are moving there. I mean, it looks to me like, based on what I can see, San Antonio has been the primary beneficiary of that change. And I know from the time when I was in the U.S. Last November, December, January, I visited Austin several times, but I was pretty much on the moneyed side of Austin, Bee Caves Road area, which any of you Texas barbecue fans will recognize that's the road that the original county line was on, that Skeeter Miller opened. One of my corporate housing tenants at one time when he was trying to get the I forget the name of his cantina down on the Riverwalk, but in any event, he was opening one of the new restaurants his locations. And in any event, what an amazing view from that. I'm not going to call it a mountain. It is when you're from Houston, it would be a mountain, but it's quite a view looking out and down over, I don't know, it's not really a valley. Maybe it is a valley. I think it's more of a canyon, but wonderful food. We ate there once on one of our visits, and brings back a lot of memories, even with the Houston locations. And I presume they still have at least one there, but boy, I'll never forget the one out north on 1960 close to Willowbrook that was in the area I lived in. And they had a sign out on 1960 that I think he's hung on to. I'd ask him at one point, what happened to that sign where it was a three-dimensional plate of ribs, the Big Daddy rib platter, for those of you that may know. And, unbelievable. Okay, let's take our last break, and we'll come back with the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We'll be right back.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And last week, I just briefly mentioned, we ran out of time, and I just briefly mentioned that we had a private partnership syndication that I thought was one that deserved talking about. And I guess I'm going to talk about a couple concepts as background, so you'll understand how, for those that are new to the world of private real estate partnership syndications, they'll understand what we can and can't say on the air, and that you'll also at the same time gain an understanding of some of the rules. You know, what are the rules of the game, let's say, you know, and which stadiums do we play in, I guess would be the way to put it in sports analogy. But in any event, the syndication is offered under 506B of the crowdfunding statute. And 506B is one type. There's two primary categories, 506B and 506C. 506C is the type that non-accredited investors that have sophisticated status are able to invest in. Up to 35 of non-accredited investors can be accepted into a 506B offering. 506C is the type or statute category that accredited investors can access. And I guess the next question, if I'm having this discussion with a client, is, well, what does accredited mean? Who qualifies to be accredited so they can invest in either category? And by the way, the rules that matter are the ones that the investment is offered under. So if it's offered under 506B, it cannot be advertised. It can't be promoted, as can 506C. So when I say the one we're discussing is a 506B investment, I'm saying it was offered under 506B. You can only participate if you have a, quote, prior relationship with this specific syndicator, sponsor, lead partner, whatever you want to call them. And in this case, this partnership offering is offered vis-a-vis a private real estate mentor group platform. And so they will require that has nothing to do with SEC, but they may tell you it does, but they're wrong. They are a private company that you pay, $20,000 to $25,000 to join, and that gets you access to the good stuff, is the way it's marketed. And we could get into that discussion, but suffice it to say that I actually find value in the group we're referring to for this specific reason, is that they have a certain volume of deal flow, and every one of their projects will be offered under 506B. So that makes it nice for non-accredited individuals. And if you're working with a CPA like us, which this is pretty much all we focus on, that qualifies you as sophisticated because you're working with us, and we will help analyze and explain what you're signing up for. So you would be able to participate in a 506B. 506C, if you're accredited, you're deemed to be sophisticated just by breathing the air that you wake up to every day. The SEC really doesn't care if you stub your toe, because if you got $1 million or more in net worth, or you earn at least 200,000 single or 300,000 joint for three straight years and anticipate doing it again this year, you're into the smart folk camp. You are accredited. Whether you understand the first thing about real estate or partnerships or cap rates or equity multiples or one of assorted other math metrics, syndication math metrics on a given transaction. And there's a lot there. And I can assure you, I don't think I have one client, maybe a couple, that have a really good grasp on what they're looking at. But most people don't do this for a living. They don't eat these private placement memorandums that have all the disclosures for breakfast like we do. Excuse me. And so, you don't necessarily appreciate what you're looking at. And I don't care how many times you've invested with the same syndicator, same lead partner, the next deal can be different. And boy, is that absolutely the case right now. But in any event, this transaction, just to go through some of the high-level math metrics, is a couple hundred units up in the, I think, we would call it, not the far northeast, but I guess, I don't know if it were, I know where Midwest is. I don't guess we have a Mideast, but it's essentially going towards the northeast, let's say. I'm not sure what to call that area. But in any event, class of this property, it's a Class B, 1988 construction. It's got people running driving the wagon, let's say, management, asset management and property management that have been to the finish line already. They also have properties in that area, even though they're based in Houston, I believe. And they've got a marvelous, well, I guess marvelous is a strong word. They've got a very good debt structure that they've been able to assume. And this is marvelous. 3.28% loan, that's the interest rate, fixed. Got 8 years remaining at a 58% LTV. That's the part that's not that marvelous. But, hey, when you've only got a 3.28% interest rate, you can't have it all, right? Can't have your cake and eat it too. But in any event, they're projecting rent increases on this project of 10% in year one. And then year two and on, 5%. So those are some pretty healthy rent increases, and I have not had a chance to look at what other data sources are saying the average rental income growth is. And, of course, that doesn't mean even if we found out that the average was 3% or projected, the pro forma, let's call it, forward-looking was 3%, or whether it was 15%, which obviously it wouldn't be, but let's just, I guess the point I'm trying to make is nobody's average, okay? Those are marketing terms. We're all actual. We're all normal, I guess is the way to say it. And would I suggest that 10% in first year rental growth is possible? Anything's possible, but that's a pretty heavy lift. And yet they are spending almost $3 million on capital or CapEx, we call it, capital expenditures, and, you know, $1.3 million for interiors and washer and dryer connections or additions, and the balance is for exteriors. So when you look at the property, again, 1988 is not an old building. I'm not sure that it's a Class B. Normally, we would reserve the label of a Class B for something that's, you know, 10 to 15 years old, maybe 15 to 20. So this is kind of pushing it a bit. But, hey, if $2.86 million will bring those units up to what a neighboring property that's a 2,000-year build looks like with the amenities that that property has, then, you know, again, the amenity set and the rent rate is what you're trying to equalize with those properties around you, your competition, and you want to get the rents up to market because that's reflective of the real value of the property. And if you're going to spend $3 million and you don't nudge the needle at least 10%, then you got a problem. And your investors aren't going to make the money that you have projected they will unless you can get the rental growth. And then market cooperation, can't emphasize that enough. You can run the best project. You can do everything you say you're going to do to turn the ship around. And if you don't get some cooperation from the market with regard to interest rates, cap rates, the rental rate growth, the area, the location, there's a lot of ways for things not to turn out the way we think they will over the next 3 to 5 years, which is what the hold period is projected to be on this property. And the cap rate they're using on calculating the pro forma information may or may not be valid. You know, 5.85% right now, that I would say is absolutely in the range. And if they've got a 3.28% fixed interest rate, it would seem like they've got a nice landing or a nice runway is what that would seem to imply. And in any event, the equity multiple that's being projected on this property depends on when they pull the trigger timing wise, but it's anywhere from 1.61 up to 1.87. Let's take a look at 1.75. If we divide that by 36 months, that gets us a 0.0486 per month. We like seeing 0.0463. That's zero when I say O. So 0.0463 would be what I would say is our target. That allows us to double our money over, I believe it's 3.2 years is the calculation, 3.2, 3.6. So that's in the ballpark. That's certainly better than many deals that we see being offered at the moment. So anyway, if you're interested in transactions like this, it won't be this one unless you're already a member of the organization that's offering this transaction through their individual members. You know, connect with us and we'll help you look for other transactions. This is the day of the direct investment. You don't need to join one of these platforms to find transactions. I refer to these platforms as old school, you know, travel agent type business model. Whereas with the internet, in the day of the internet, we can locate, we can assess, and we can invest directly with the syndicator or the sponsor, the lead partner that's offering the transaction. And it's good and bad. I mean, it's the wild, wild west when it comes to certain aspects of these transactions. The fees are out of control in some cases, but again, fees, there's nothing wrong with fees as long as they're for the right purpose and the timing is correct. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, syndicators should make whatever they think they can make off these transactions, but don't pull a bunch of money out before your passive investors have gotten their money. So anyway, okay, we finished just in time. I hear the music playing, and that means that we will be signing off until Sunday at 7 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, and we hope you can join us. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.